It'll be at 7 o'clock, all right? But if you do hear that gig sigh, it'll be that. My wife has been running herself ragged trying to get everything squared away for that. And it'd be okay, but she runs me ragged too, so that's the problem. But if you would pray for me, I don't know, I think now it's more allergy than it is a cold, but just trying to deal with that. People have been offering me cough drops. I've got them in my pocket. I've got one in my mouth, but it's hard to preach with a cough drop in your mouth because you're always conscious of it, and I don't want to spit it out while I'm preaching. If I spit it out, somebody will go, oh, man, you know. So, but if you don't remember anything else about the service, you'd remember that, wouldn't you? Anyway, all right. And by the way, it's also good to see Mildred this morning. She's had surgery and able to be with us today. We're so glad she's here, all right? All right, everybody at Ruth chapter 3. Just two verses. Would you look at verse 5? Verse 5. Notice what the Bible said. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Now go to verse 11. Now here's Boaz speaking. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now, I want you to notice in both of those verses, that little three-letter word, all. All. In verse 5, Ruth said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. In verse 11, Boaz says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of blessing is found in doing all. Doing all, okay? If you're not familiar with the book of Ruth, Ruth is the title of the book. Ruth herself was a Moabitess. She was born, grew up in Moab. Look, the people of Moab, the Moabites, were heathen idol worship. They were the enemies of God's people. They had a bad start, and they didn't get any better throughout their lifetime, all right? The nation itself didn't get any better. Now, Ruth grew up in that. Ruth grew up in a bunch in the midst of a people who were heathens. They were idol worshipers. They didn't worship the true God. But when she got into the family of Naomi, all right, she married one of Naomi's sons. When she got into the family, she got introduced to the Jehovah God, if you will. The God of creation, the creator of this universe, she got introduced to him. Now, she got introduced to that God by a father-in-law and a mother-in-law that were backslidden at the time. Elimelech was backslidden at the time, but I want you to see, he still had more God on him than any Moabite had ever seen. They had never seen anything like it. Now, obviously, Ruth was attracted to that God. You said, why do you say that? Because she chose to make him her God. Look back in chapter 1, would you? Chapter 1, verse 16. What a testimony. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Hey, you can't miss that very plain declaration. Ruth said, that's the God that's going to be my God. That God will be my God. Now, then, before at this time, Ruth was with her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was about to come back to Judah. And Naomi really painted a bad picture, all right, of what life in Judah would be like for Ruth. Naomi didn't paint a pretty picture. She tried to convince Ruth to stay in Moab. And she said, you stay here, you'll be able to find a husband, and your life will be back, you'll have it, everything will be good. But really said, you go to Judah, you're going to be a stranger, you're going to be a strange person in a strange land. Nothing could be more difficult than that. And She laid it out to her and everything she could to make it look bad. But Ruth, in spite of all of it, came to Judah. And what happened to her there was absolutely beyond what many people even dream about. I mean, just, it was absolutely. Now, I want to say this. What happened to her in Judah was not an accident. It wasn't just something that, you know, well, there, it just happened. I believe all the blessings that came her way were a direct result of what Ruth did. Direct result of what Ruth did. Look, I believe God wants to bless you. I believe that. You said, preacher, you don't know me, you don't know my life. I don't care. I believe God wants to bless you. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And there may be some of you here that say, well, why doesn't he bless me? Well, I believe blessing is found in doing all. Blessings don't come by luck. It's not a matter of you being at the right place at the right time. It's not a matter, you know, just the stars lining up accurately, no. Things like that. Blessings don't come accidentally. Blessings come from doing all. Let me try to show you that from the story of Ruth, if we could, all right? I want you to see it with me this morning. She did all in labor. In labor. Now, I realize work is a bad word to a lot of people today, all right? But man, Ruth worked. You read chapter 1 and you read, well, more so chapter 2. You read in chapter 2 how Ruth got out and gleaned in the field. That was hard work. That was hard work. And she worked long hours. She got there early. She stayed late. She worked all day, faithful on the job, just stayed with it, all right? Now, look, she did all she could labor-wise, everything she could. She didn't just sit back and say, well, let somebody give it to me. She said, no, I'm going to work. I have found this. You'll find that the harder you work, the luckier you're going to be. All right? Just the harder you work, the luckier you'll be. We live in a land today where people don't want to work. All right? Folks don't want to work in our day. Just don't do it. They're not willing to put forth the effort. Now, they don't mind having a job because they want the income as long as they don't have to work to get that money. All right? I'll show up, and I may not show up on time, but I'll show up. Look. You ought to be willing to labor. You ought to be willing to work. The Bible says if a man won't work, then he shouldn't eat. That's pretty plain and simple, all right? We live in a day, people don't want to work, and they don't teach their kids to work. Amen. Don't teach their kids to work. I heard about, and these happened to be, I think this was a wealthy family, and they had a problem with a young daughter. I think by this time she's in her 20s, and somebody else was telling me about this deal, but she said they carried her to court, and the judge, you know, she was complaining because her parents weren't giving her enough money. And the judge suggested she could get a job, and it was like, do what? Hey, we live in a day people don't want to work, and we don't teach our kids to work. Can I say this to you? If you got kids, teach them to work. Amen. Teach them to work. It's a good thing to do. Teach them to labor. Give them some chores. My brother and I, we were growing up, and we had chores. Mom worked, Dad worked, and they split the chores in the house to my brother and I, okay? And we did the cleaning. We washed the dishes. Man, it was at an early age I learned to despise washing dishes, okay? And I don't like it then, don't like it now, okay? But they taught us to work, you know. Dad never said, now, if you don't mind. No, he said, you be sure it's done when I get home, all right? And we raked the leaves. We moved to Florida. We had, what, 7 oak trees, 5 mango trees in our yard. And, buddy, when them things shed leaves, we had leaves. They were just everywhere. And we raked those leaves, mowed the grass, all that kind of stuff. He said, what are you saying that for? I don't want your pity. I'm glad Dad taught us to work. I tried to teach my kids to work. I want them to know what it is. They ought to do it, all right? We don't want to work, and we can't figure out why the blessings don't come our way. Why? Well, I don't want to work. Ruth, man, she did it all when it come to labor. All when it came to labor. But there's something else. She did all when it came to loyalty. To loyalty. Back there, remember in chapter 1, verse 16, where we read, she said, I'll go where you go, and I'll lodge where you lodge. Thy people will be my people, thy God be my God. Verse 17 said, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Hey, you know what? That's quite a declaration. But I'll tell you something else, she stayed with it. She kept her word. That's exactly what she did. She said to Naomi, hey, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stick with you. And you read the book of Ruth. Ruth was loyal to Naomi. I mean, she is right there with her. A lot of people today don't know much about loyalty. Amen. Don't know much about it. They'll hang around as long as much is not required. As long as life seems to be, you know, running along, going well, you're getting what you want, okay, I'll be loyal. But as soon as it seems the grass is greener in the lot next door, they're gone. They're gone. I'm done. Brother Terry Dunn's here this morning. I'm going to use this as an example. He was my insurance man for years. He was my insurance man, and I was with him, and he retired, and I remember going, and I was looking for auto insurance because the company he was with, now he was gone now, so it's not his fault, okay? But I had been with him for a long time, and the rates went up, and I went looking for somebody else. And I told the person, I said, hey, it's hard for me to come because I've been with somebody else for a long time. I like loyalty. Amen. I like loyalty. I like to be loyal, all right? I want a good being loyal. But, man, today people don't seem to have that. Ruth was loyal to Naomi. Hey, she was loyal to stay in the fields of Boaz. Boaz said, boy, this is where you ought to do it. She was loyal. Hey, she was loyal to her God. She was loyal. Christian gets blessed today because you stay loyal to God. You stay loyal to Him, you'll find the blessings that come your way. Hey, I'll tell you this, you stay loyal to the local church, the blessings come your way. Blessings come your way. I've talked to a lot of people, man. A lot of people outside of church, used to go to church. In many cases, bitter people. And I tell them, look, you need to just get back in the house of God. You need to get back in the house of God. Well, how's that going to change it? I can't tell you. But it will. But it will. Hey, just get in a local church. Be loyal there. Be loyal. Hey, good times, I'll be there. Bad times, I'll be there. Lord, I'm serving you. In the good times, when it seems like all the blessings are on me, and the windows of heaven are open, I'll be loyal. But if it seems like that flow gets cut off, Lord, I'm still going to be loyal. I'm still going to be loyal. I'll do it. We ought to be like those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, you don't bow, you're going to burn. And they said, we're not careful to answer you. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, oh, that's the difference. But if not, said, if he doesn't deliver us, no problem, we still aren't going to bow down. We won't do it. Why? Loyalty. Loyalty. Hey, listen. Ruth did all she could in labor. I believe she did all she could in loyalty. She stuck with it. She was there, all right? She was present. She didn't run out. She didn't dodge off on the first day. I guarantee you there were some tough days in those days of harvesting. She went out day after day for several months gleaning. Guarantee you there were some tough days. Guarantee you there were some tough days. She was loyal. She was loyal to bring back to her mother-in-law and share everything she got with her mother-in-law. Why? She did all when it come to loyalty. Not only that, I believe she did all when it came to learning. Would you look in chapter 2 at verse 13? Chapter 2, verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me Remember that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boy, you talk about humility. Ruth had some humility. She's a very humble person. Here she was, she's saying, man, I just want to tell you, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. And he said, I want to find favor. You've comforted me. I'm not even one of yours. I'm not like your people. I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. But he said, you've been so good to me. So good to me. Now, I don't believe Ruth went out there. She's in the new land. She didn't know all the rules. She didn't know all the rules, the laws that govern gleaning. But she's willing to learn. She's willing to learn. She came, all right? She never got arrogant in that attitude that a lot of people do. She never thought she knew it all. She kept that humble spirit. She stayed very humble all throughout the time. Hey, can I say this to you? It makes a difference in people when they decide to humble themselves, to put themselves maybe at the feet of others so they can learn. So they can learn. Man, I'm a believer in learning everything you can. Now listen, folks, I'm especially talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things. I think it's a good thing to know all you can about, you know, math, English, social studies, science, and all that kind of business. But it's, boy, it's so good to know all you can about the things of God and what God wants. And to keep a humble spirit about you, to not get arrogant, to never get to the point where you think, I got it, I know all of that. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have it all, I don't know it all. But it's sure been fun learning. And to just put yourself at the feet of somebody else. And that's what Ruth did. You read chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 in Ruth, and you find Ruth listening to what she was told. Collecting and understanding and learning from other people. She said, I'm here, you know. I'm not going to take advantage of anything. I don't feel like anybody owes me anything. I'm here and I'm going to learn. She did all she could. But boy, then she did all she could in obedience. Obedience. Just all the way through. All the way through. The Bible said in chapter 1 it was her hap to land, or chapter 2 it was her hap to land in the field of Boaz. Now God directed that. But she went there and Boaz told her, he said, now listen, you stay in my field. Don't be gleaning somewhere else. Don't go another field, stay here. She did that. She did that. She didn't get the idea, you don't own me. Who you tell me what to do? I was talking to some other people over there in them other fields, and I think they're doing better than I am over here. She never got that attitude. Boaz said, you stay right here. She said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. She was right there, man, stayed in the field. She stayed by his maidens. He said, you stay with my maidens, and you'll be safe. You'll be taken care of. You stay here. She said, I'll do it. She did it. She was obedient there. She listened to Naomi. Naomi told her things to do. She did what she was told to do. And in verse 5, where we read in our text, she said unto her, she's talking to Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Obedient, just a little old same thing, little deal, all right? She didn't give Naomi her ideas, but she followed what she was told to do. And she didn't do what kids today do. Why? And I remember asking my dad that once. And I remember him saying, because I told you. And every other time I was ever tempted to ask why, I figured I was going to get the same answer and maybe a little of reinforcement. So I quit asking why. Hey, just do it, do it. A lot of times there's not time for you to ask why, okay? Somebody yells, duck! I would strongly urge you not to say, huh, why? Just duck, all right? Hey, when God says to do something, just do what he says. Just do what he says. Don't argue with him. Don't fight with him. Don't think, well, why am I going to do it? Hey, just do it. Well, it doesn't make sense. You read some of this in chapter 3. To you and me, it makes no sense at all. No sense at all. She told Ruth, said, now you go down there to the threshing floor, you watch Boaz, and you don't go up to him before, during the celebration, stay away from him, just keep an eye on him, and watch where he lays down. And when he goes to sleep, you go down there, and you uncover his feet, and you lay down beside him. Now, to you and me, we go, huh? Do what? Dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. You said, well, wait a minute. My Ruth, though, she understood those customs. Where'd you get that idea? Ruth wasn't a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. Now, Naomi knew what she was telling her. She knew what it all meant. Ruth said, okay, I'll do it. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand all the reasons behind what it is. She just obeyed. Just obedient. Just obeyed. She did all she could in obedience. Could I challenge you this morning and just say to you, that thing called obedience is so important. Yet it's such a challenge to people today. And I think it's especially true in the realm of Christianity. We're not content to do things God's way. We don't want to do it God's way. Instead, we won't change it up. We won't change it up. You look around and you see churches. Look, you could have gone this morning to, I start to say 400, but the truth is, in Dallas, Tarrant County, you could have easily picked among 4,000 churches. And you could have had everything under the sun from the wildest time you could imagine. And maybe, I'm sure there's one in this area that meets in a bar. There are churches that are doing that, you know. And they call themselves churches. And you could do it, and all that. But I tell you, we've got this idea that we've got to make the church fit for the world. Well, the Bible presents a totally different picture. The picture of the Bible is, hey, we're to make people fit for God and fit for the church. You say, well, what have I got to do to be able to come? Just show up. Just show up. But if you'll hang around, hopefully God will work on you. And I believe if you'll let him and you'll obey him, he will work on you. He'll make the changes that need to be made. He'll make the adjustments. If you'll be willing to say, I'll do it, all right? I'll do it. But we find so many people that rebel against that authority. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. I don't want to do it. Kids today don't want to obey their parents. They don't want to obey teachers. They don't want to obey police officers, all right? Adults don't want to obey the laws. Trust me, when I'm driving, I don't always want to obey the law either. I don't want to do it. There's some that I think is the craziest thing in the world, all right? I don't like the fact that when I get in my car, I got to buckle on the seatbelt. I hate wearing a seatbelt. Hate doing it. I grew up as a kid. I survived standing in the front seat. I grew up that way. I can remember many times the brake came on. My dad, that was it. He was automatic. There it was. He did it. I'm just telling you, okay? I don't like a lot of the laws, but I can obey them. I don't have to like them to obey them. But I'll tell you what I found out when it comes to doing what God says. Sure is better if I'll do it His way. Man, it works out so much better. So much better if we'd just do it. I'll be honest, I think we live where few people are really in favor of obeying God. And by that I mean following biblical admonition, doing what God's Word says. We don't want to do that. I won't do that. I got my own ideas. Got my own ideas. Talking yesterday, out witnessing to people, and a lady said, you know, well, I'm not religious. I said, me either. But I do have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she was making a statement. She said, well, I'm kind of making my own way. Now, just bear with me here. I'm not running down that particular woman, but that's the attitude so many people have. I'm going to do it my way. But God says if you come to Him, you're going to come His way. You're going to have to come His way. If you don't come His way, you're not going to get there, all right? Now, we rebel against that because we don't want to be obedient. We rebel against that. Hey, I want you to see, Ruth did it all when it came to obedience. Obedience. But could it get to the good part now? Well, let's face it. We don't like obeying. We don't like being obedient. We don't like learning a lot of times. Good for us, but we don't like it. God wants to teach us a lesson sometimes. We don't enjoy the lesson, but we needed the lesson. We needed what we could get from Him. We need to know something about loyalty. We ought to display loyalty. Sometimes that's not fun to do. Not a fun thing to do. It's sure not fun to labor and work. Well, let's get to the good part, okay? I want you to go back to chapter 3, verse 11 again. Verse 11, Boaz says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." I will do to thee all that thou requirest. I want you to see this. Ruth got it all because she did it all. She got it all because she did it all. Look at the testimony she got, would you? Look at the testimony she got. You see the rest of verse 11? The rest of verse 11 says this, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." All the people of my city know that thou art a virtuous woman. You talk about a testimony. That's a testimony, boy. How would it be you pick wherever you live? I live in Haltom City. How wonderful it would be if everybody in Haltom City knew that I had a good testimony. How good it would be if everybody lived in Watauga knew that, and you live in Watauga, and they said, "We know that person. What a testimony they have. A virtuous person, a person of virtue." Whether you be in Fort Worth, wherever you might be, to have that testimony. What a wonderful testimony that is. You can't buy a testimony like that. You cannot do it, all right? Just impossible. Everybody notices when you give it your all and doing it all. People pay attention. People pay attention. They see it. We talk about people seeing Christians when they mess up, and they do. They do. But you hear me. They pay attention when they see somebody that's giving it everything they've got, living for God, just trying to do what's right. You know, it's amazing. People will give it everything they've got trying to do what's wrong sometimes. People will give it everything they've got when it comes to some pleasure, some sport. You know, whatever it is. You'll give it all you've got for that. Well, you won't give it all you've got for God. But you ought to. Ruth gave it all and she got it all. What a testimony she had. Sterling testimony. Everybody knew she was a virtuous woman. Hey, wait a minute. I remind you, she was a stranger in a strange land. When people saw her, they immediately knew she's not one of us. She's not one of us. But over that time she had been there, Boaz said, "Everybody in this city knows you're a virtuous woman." What a testimony. What kind of testimony do you have? You got that testimony? Hey, you get it all because you do it all. Not only that, she got a husband. Now, some of you say, "Man, I don't know if that's a good deal or not," all right? Well, it depends on kind of husband you got, all right? If you're a lady or a man, if you got what kind of wife you've got. But she got one. She got a husband that provided her, a loving husband. Somebody took care of her. Somebody provided for her. Somebody that gave her safety and sustenance. A man who was respected. He was a man with great character. Man, you couldn't beat a deal like that with a stick, all right? She just got what she was looking for, all right? Got that companion in life. Got that rest that Naomi mentioned, all right? She said, "You've got it." Why? Because she did it all. She did it all. Did it all. Now, I don't want any gender to think I'm picking on you, okay? But I just say to you, you don't necessarily get the best spouse because you make up and dress up and act apart. You do it because you do it all. You do it all. I believe with all my heart, Boaz was attracted to Ruth. I think Ruth was probably a nice-looking woman. But I think the thing that attracted her beyond that is she watched her practice. She worked. He saw she was a worker. He saw she was loyal. All right? He saw that in her. He looked and he saw it. He said, I see that loyalty that's there in your life. And without a doubt, that's it. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. All right? Notice what Boaz said in verse 11. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. You know, what are you saying? I'm saying Boaz paid attention to this woman, and not just what she looked like, but what she was as a person. What she was as an individual. And he realized, hey, I'm getting the person here that's going to provide me a good wife. Good wife. Hey, somebody that knows what it is to labor. You know, what's the old saying now? Man gets a trophy wife, you know? All she can do is look good. I'll tell you this. Those looks are going to change. Now, you got money, you can try to preserve it as long as you can. You can have tummy tucks, facelifts, all kinds of stuff done. All kinds of stuff. But you're still going to get old. You can use Botox, you know. You can have injections. You can all through all that stuff. But you're going to get old, and the looks are going to go, all right? You're just not going to look. Now, there's some people, that their genes are such, they never hardly ever change. Most of us are not like that. I don't feel old until I look in the mirror and say, who's that old guy in there? Man, it's different, okay? I want to tell you, she got a husband and knew how to take care of her. Why? She got it all because she did it all. But let me just go one step further. She got a heritage. She became the grandma of King David. Her grandson was King David, greatest king the nation of Israel ever had. That was her grandson, all right? She was a grandma, King David. Ladies, you like to brag about your grandkids, right? Most of you know, you got pictures. Look here, look here, look here. Ruth go around and said, who's your grandkid? Oh, nobody. He's just David. David? David who? Oh, you know, King David. She got a pretty good heritage. But wait a minute, it got better than that. She's in the lineage of the King of Kings. You begin to read over there in the New Testament, the lineage of David. Excuse me, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find David, but you'll find Ruth. Hey, the Moabitess. Why? She got it all because she did it all. The blessings of God. I'm convinced plenty of people today want it all, but not near as many are willing to do it all. Not willing to do it all. Not willing to give and be what God wants them to be. Not willing to learn from Him. Not willing to obey Him. But we want all the blessings of God. We want to be there. We want to be where the blessings are showered down. But we're not willing to do what God says to do. Hey, you want the blessings? God's blessings come to people who will go all out for Him. Plain and simple. Ruth got it all because she did it all. She gave it all. She gave it her best. She did all she could do. Then the Lord turned around and blessed her. I'm going to tell you something. He's still in the blessing business. He's still in the blessing business. And He still wants to bless His people. Hey, the first thing you're going to do, you want to get in a place of blessing, and you need to be sure you're in the family of God. He said, preacher, I am. I was born. No, you only get into the family of God by being born again. being born again. That's the way you get into his family. That's the first step. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to get in the family. And then you need to put yourself at the feet of the Lord and say, I'll learn everything you want me to learn. I'll be loyal to you. I'll be loyal to your church. I'll go. I'll learn. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll give myself. I'll do everything I can. Do my best for you. You know what? That's the one God puts the blessings on. God's the one puts the blessing on. You want it all? Then learn to do it all. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we come to you. Tried to preach a very simple message. Lord, a lot of us today, we want it all. But we found out the only way to get it all is to do it all. Lord, would you help us to be those kind of people?